take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, October 11th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And it's got to be just 4 weeks away until we legalize marijuana in five more states, add medical marijuana to three more states, improve medical marijuana in Montana. Boy, I'm so looking forward to Marijuana Election Night 2016. Tuesday, November 8th, we'll be live in Los Angeles at the Drug Policy Alliance campaign watch party there at the Doubletree in downtown LA. We'll be streaming live from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time, 6 hours, as we cover every time zone and the polls as they close from east to west. We'll have guests, we'll have celebrities, we'll have experts, we'll have all sorts of stuff for you on Marijuana Election Night 2016. You can tune in to CannabisRadio.com. This will be the only place you can catch our fantastic, exclusive, live coverage of the most important marijuana election in our lifetime. Now, aside from that, how'd you spend your Columbus Day? I had some fun yesterday, although I don't like to call it Columbus Day. To me, it is Indigenous Peoples Day. I refuse to celebrate a lost, raping, genocidal maniac like Christopher Columbus. But anyway, I had the day off, and I was continuing on my tweets and my comments on Instagram and Facebook regarding Proposition 64 in California. I've had a lot of the haters of Prop 64 attacking me online, and this led to a long Twitter battle, I guess we could call it, with Be Real of Cypress Hill, a.k.a. Dr. Green Thumb. And you can check my Radical Russ feed if you want to see how that ran down. But I just want to squash the beef at this point by issuing a apology to Be Real, not for disagreeing with him, not for thinking that he's wrong in his opposition of Prop 64. But it got a little heated. After we went round and round, back and forth, we started trading barbs and insults and veiled threats and stuff. And that's not the way this should go, and I let my emotions get the better of me on that. Now, I want to make sure that as we discuss these important initiatives, that I'm sticking to the facts, and I'm attacking the subject and not the person. So my apologies, Be Real. Sorry to have gone a little over the line. But still, you should be supporting legalization. How much money have you made off of pot smokers? Anyway, on today's show, we've got great stuff for you in our Marijuana Election Night previews. At half past, we're going to be speaking with Carrie Boyder. She's a longtime marijuana activist. I got to know her when she was here in the Pacific Northwest. She's moved back to her native Billings, Montana, where she is running for the Montana House of Representatives. It'd be great to have one of our people in there in the Montana legislature, especially as they recover from the devastation to their medical marijuana program. We'll speak with Kari right at half past, so stay tuned for that. After that interview, we'll be speaking with Dimitri Downing. He's in Phoenix, Arizona with the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. I got to attend that, the first edition of that last year. They're embarking on their second edition this year. We'll find out the details on this weekend's event. Speaking of events, coming up in our Behind the Headlines segment, I'll give you a preview of what's happening on Thursday and Friday in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'll be there at the International Cannabis Business Conference, streaming live on Thursday and Friday. Taking the train up tomorrow, so no live show on Wednesday. Also in Drug War Data Mining, we'll take a look at the DEA's marijuana eradication program and how much money they're wasting. It all comes after the Cannabis Radio News. The headlines are next, right after this break, and in an hour or two, your calls in Toker Talk Radio.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, October 11th, 2016. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte invoked the Holocaust in calling for police extermination of drug users, and the United States will give them financial help to do so. Duterte promised during his campaign for president that he would grant immunity to the law enforcement and vigilante groups who murder drug users and sellers. He won election with less than 40% of the vote, thanks to opposition being divided among multiple candidates. The death toll has reached over 3,000, with another 600,000 who've surrendered themselves to crowded prisons to avoid being murdered. Quote, Hitler massacred 3 million Jews, Duterte said, underestimating by half. Now there's 3 million drug addicts. I'd be happy to slaughter them. End quote, to quote, finish the problem of my country and save the next generation from perdition. End quote. Despite this direct call for genocide, the Obama administration has pledged $32 million in aid this year for Philippine law enforcement activities. The new Ohio Medical Marijuana Advisory Committee will include two members of a group that fought legalization, raising concerns among advocates about whether the panel will be stacked against them. The 14-member panel's roster was set with final appointments this week. Its first meeting must be held within a month. Republican House Speaker Cliff Rosenberger named Marcy Seidel, executive director of the Drug-Free Action Alliance, as one of his two appointees on Thursday. The assistant director at the alliance, Tony Coder, was named to the committee by Republican Governor John Kasich. Seidel and Coder are designated to represent people involved in mental health treatment and alcohol and drug addiction treatment, respectively. Coder said he has spent 13 years and Seidel has spent 18 years in substance abuse prevention, which includes promotion of mental health wellness. He said they both intend to respect that medical marijuana is now law in Ohio. Libertarian presidential candidate and former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson says he forgives a former public safety secretary who resigned over Johnson's stance on legalizing marijuana. That former secretary, Darren White, now is CEO and security director of one of the state's new medical marijuana producers. Johnson told the Associated Press on Monday that everyone makes mistakes, but he is happy that White has come around and endorsed the legalization of marijuana. White stepped down as Johnson's secretary of the New Mexico Department of Public Safety in 1999 because he publicly disagreed with then-Governor Gary Johnson's stand on legalizing marijuana. He later became a two-term Bernalillo County sheriff. Today, White says he uses marijuana due to chronic back pain. He endorsed Johnson for president in July. The Kansas Attorney General says marijuana from Colorado is, quote, permeating, end quote, every part of Kansas. Attorney General Derek Schmidt said in a news release Monday that he got that information from 320 law enforcement agencies and 70 prosecutors' offices that responded to a survey. Schmidt says Colorado's decision to legalize marijuana has led to high-grade marijuana from that state, largely replacing lower-grade marijuana from Mexico and homegrown marijuana in Kansas. And he says the study by his office found a, quote, significant rise, end quote, in marijuana edibles, waxes, and oils coming from Colorado into Kansas. Schmidt also criticized the federal government for not keeping promises to help prevent Colorado marijuana from moving into nearby states. The 57,000 unionized workers in Nevada's culinary Local 226 have announced their endorsement of Question 2, the ballot measure to legalize marijuana. The endorsement from the state's largest labor union has given a big boost to the measure. In September, KTNV Rasmussen Reports poll showed 53% support versus 39% opposition, up from 50-41 back in July. Suffolk University's September poll put the measure at 57-33 in support. But a poll last week from the Las Vegas Review-Journal placed the measure at a 47-46 statistical tie. However, that paper has been purchased by a casino billionaire, Sheldon Adelson, who has donated millions to oppose marijuana reforms nationwide. Following the purchase, the paper's editorial board reversed their standing endorsement of marijuana legalization and called for the defeat of Question 2. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, October 11th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Oh, Lady Marijuana, lama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Our daughter Rebecca could have a seizure at any given time that could take her life.
When you have 200 seizures a day, she gets so scared.
I've learned a lot about the benefits of medical marijuana in the treatment of intractable epilepsy in children. We feel her saying to us, Mom, Dad,
help me.
When is this going to stop? Why don't you, my parents who love me, do something? And we can't.
Please help us help our daughter.
Our daughter Rebecca needs all options for medical marijuana, so please vote yes on Amendment 2.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the upcoming International Cannabis Business Conference taking place Thursday and Friday in Vancouver, British Columbia. We will be at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Vancouver. They're expecting 650 or more to be attending this event. Now, I've covered the International Cannabis Business Conference in all its iterations in Portland and San Francisco. This is its first foray into becoming international by moving into Canada. And plans are in effect to bring the conference to Berlin, Germany, to Australia, and to Croatia. So this will morph into a truly international conference. Now, one of the things that's notable about this conference is how it is organized by Alex Rogers. Alex has been a longtime cannabis activist. He goes back to being a musician and performer and was strongly into the reggae culture, where he takes some spiritual significance to cannabis, ganja, as well as the commercial and personal rights that we should have to use this plant. And because of that, I believe the ICBC, compared to any of these other business conferences, and there's a ton of them. I mean, Vancouver's recently had the Cannabis Hemp Conference, the Cannabis Business Week, the Lyft Cannabis Expo. But what makes ICBC different is Alex's focus on making sure the business side of cannabis understands the cultural side of marijuana and understands that this is more than just a commodity to be bought and sold and marked up and profited from, but it's also something that has spiritual significance, medical significance, industrial significance, and that many people treat this plant and treat this commodity with a reverence and respect that they wouldn't for, say, soft drinks or hamburgers. And because of that, the focus of the International Cannabis Business Conference often comes back to activism and often comes back to telling these entrepreneurs and investors that without their continued contribution to the reform efforts in other states, they can't possibly grow their market much bigger than the state they are in. And I always appreciate that about ICBC. Now, as far as the event itself, a two-day event, Thursday and Friday, will be featuring some fantastic speakers. On Thursday, you'll get to hear from Gabor Mate, who is a major physician on the science of addiction. He's based in Vancouver, BC. Kirk Tusaw will also be speaking. He's a Canadian lawyer who's argued before their highest court and has a wealth of knowledge about Canadian law with respect to Health Canada and their medical marijuana program. And of course, Tommy Chong will sit down for a live interview with Celeb Stoner's Steve Bloom. And Tommy is a native of Vancouver, British Columbia, so it'll be interesting to hear his take on how legalization has progressed and how things are different in Vancouver from the days when he was growing up there. Also on Friday, we'll have another keynote speaker, and that will be Brendan Kennedy, the CEO of Privateer Holdings. They're the major company that is involved with the Marley Natural brand. Also, one of their subsidiaries called Tilray is a federally licensed cannabis production facility on Vancouver Island. They're the first Canadian company to legally export medical marijuana overseas. So it'll be interesting to get Brendan's perspective on how the international market is beginning to take shape. Also, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja, will be there for questions and answers and autographs of his latest books. And Gayo Belem will be emceeing, the cannabis comedian from the Sacramento area, who's a well-known fixture in the West Coast marijuana activism circles. Jamie Shaw will be there, a cannabis dispensary and industry expert in Vancouver. Rocker T will be performing at the ICBC after party if you're into some quality grassroots reggae music, and plenty more. Philippe Lucas, who's been a longtime advocate in Vancouver, he is now the patient advocate at Tilray, will be speaking. Jody Emery, the Princess of Pot, wife of Mark Emery and the business owner of Cannabis Culture, very popular in Canada. She'll be speaking. Dana Larson, another great activist, will be there as well. Aaron Smith from the National Cannabis Industries Association, and plenty more. It's the ICBC. You can find out.
All we want to do is pump you up.
As I was saying, you can find out more at internationalcbc.com. Tickets are still available online if you'd like to attend. We'll be streaming live on Thursday and Friday, regular time, 3 to 5 Pacific, from the International Cannabis Business Conference. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we take a look at the DEA's marijuana eradication program.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Hey, this is Tommy Chong. This is Ray Dawn on the other mic.
Yes, the eldest. It was awesome.
And we saw, it was called Dying to Know.
It's a love story between Ram Dass and Tim Leary.
Yeah, the gay Jew and Tim.
But he wasn't gay when he was a professor. He didn't know.
Yeah, that must have been a shock to his wife.
The one time he, like, met a vagina.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at an article posted by Christopher Ingram at the Washington Post regarding the DEA's marijuana eradication program. It's, of course, our federal program that sends cops out in helicopters looking for weed and ripping it up. And this is the federal program, not the programs that are undertaken by many of the states. Of course, we just had that story that came out last week about Massachusetts National Guard and state cops eradicating a single cannabis plant from an 81-year-old woman's garden. So in addition to the federal eradication, we also have these idiotic state eradication programs. But Ingram writes about the federal program, the DEA's program, which costs us taxpayers $14 million a year to go rip up cannabis plants. And they give these grants in to different states for their eradication programs. And the story here in the Post is taking a look at some of the costs and some of the results that we've gotten for our taxpayer investment of $14 million a year. In 2015, DEA gave $20,000 to New Hampshire
to eradicate cannabis. And the New Hampshire law enforcement agencies were able to find one grow that had 27 plants. Pull out your calculator, do a little math. 20,000 divided by 27 tells you that each cannabis plant costs $740.74 to uproot in New Hampshire. So that's pretty costly, but not as bad as some of the other states. The state of Utah received $73,000 in marijuana eradication funds for 2015, and they found nothing. $73,000 went to Utah law enforcement to find zero cannabis plants. $73,000 just thrown away. Now, there are calls on Capitol Hill to take a look at this budget and perhaps eliminate it from the DEA. 12 members of Congress have been pushing for this, to take that $14 million, redirect it from weeding to funding domestic violence prevention or deficit reduction programs. Seems like a better use of $73,000 than not getting any plants in Utah, doesn't it? $14 million a year we could be putting toward funding domestic violence prevention. Now, the DEA's purpose in this $14 million budget is to, quote, halt the spread of cannabis cultivation in the United States, end quote. Well, so far, no good. So far, you've done a terrible job of eliminating and halting the spread of cannabis cultivation in the United States. We already have 4 states that have legalized it, 25 states that have recognized its medical use, and after this election, we're going to have 30 medical states. 29. We're going to have 29 medical states. 28. Montana's already counted. 28 medical states and 9 legal states. So obviously the money is not working. The weeding is not working. Most of the focus of this eradication program, of course, happens in California. Agents there pulled up 2.6 million marijuana plants in 2015. They seized 1,600 weapons while they did so. Of the $14 million spent from marijuana eradication, well, over a third of it, $5.4 million, was spent in the state of California. The next highest was Kentucky at $1.9 million, 570,000 plants. And this is where they put most of their focus, is on these high production states. The DEA's budget for this has shrunk. It's gone down from $18 million in 2014 to $14 million now. And some states, like Alaska, Colorado, and Vermont, aren't getting any funds anymore. Now, this also takes us to Proposition 64 that's on the ballot in California, and how the legalization in California is going to significantly eradicate or significantly affect the eradication budget of the DEA. And this is why passage of Prop 64 is so important, because California is such a large consideration for the federal government due to its size, its economy, its population, its number of electoral votes, its number of representatives in Congress, that whatever happens in California casts significant ripples throughout policy decisions in every other state and at the federal level. Taking California off the board when it comes to the drug war, with respect to eradication efforts and raids and stings and all of that, begins to unravel the federal government's entire drug war. It is marijuana and marijuana consumers that provide the grist for the drug war mill. There's not enough of the hard drug users, and they're much harder to catch because their drug doesn't smell so much and take up so much room and so forth, that with only the hard drug users to go after, the war on drugs isn't worth the costs. So by legalizing marijuana, taking marijuana out of the drug war, we take most of the energy out of the drug war. And getting marijuana out of the drug war can't happen until we legalize it state by state. And legalizing it in California will provide the impetus that starts to topple the dominoes much more quickly in the rest of the states. It's not just about whether or not you can buy a legal bag of weed, it's what happens for the entire world when it comes to all drug prohibition. That's how important Prop 64 is. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Carrie Boyder in Montana running for the House right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
I was a Boston PD cop, and now as a professor, I believe Yes on 4 is a smart choice to protect families. Let me explain. Question 4 requires strict product labeling and childproof packaging and bans advertising directed at kids. And question 4 bans consuming marijuana in public. It will tax and regulate marijuana for adults 21 and over, bringing millions in revenue for schools or law enforcement. Vote yes on 4. Smart regulations protecting families.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Your grapefruits are no match for my Trump Towers.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got 32 after the hour here at our studios in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. And joining us by telephone, we go out to Big Sky Country, where Carrie Boyder is waiting on the phone. How you doing, Carrie?
Awesome. How are you, Russ?
I'm fantastic. And we are so excited to be able to talk to you today and to preview the marijuana election night, because you are running for office in Montana, the Montana House District 44. And we've always said it's important that our people, activist people, people who know the truth about cannabis, run for office and get elected. So tell us about this campaign and what prompted you to want to run for the House.
So I'm running in a very competitive district in Billings, Montana. It's the largest city in the state of Montana. And my opponent is the incumbent, but he just so happens to be former law enforcement, you know, part of the whole staunch prohibition regime. So I decided to run for office because I felt like the Heights in particular wasn't getting very good representation from this representative. And he was a little bit out of touch with the way the rest of Montanans feel. So decided to step up and go ahead and throw my hat in the ring and give people an alternative so that they'd have a choice in the matter.
That's fantastic. And being in Billings, largest city there in Montana, I'm originally from Idaho and the Boise area, largest city in Boise. And I found that while the state of Idaho is generally very, very conservative, at least in Boise, there was somewhat more of a progressive audience to speak to. Is that a similar dynamic in Billings compared to the rest of the state?
I would say that Billings is very similar to Idaho. It's, you know, somewhat conservative, but there is, you know, a great group of folks who are bringing arts, culture, music, you know, wonderful things like that to the city. And it's growing and, you know, wonderful things are happening here. And so it's really relying on people like us to help shift it a little bit farther forward and help bring it to the beautiful city that it can be. And so that's really what this is about, is standing up and helping make the community a better place. And, you know, regardless of whether, you know, people are conservative or liberal or where they fall on the political spectrum, what I find here is that, you know, there aren't a lot of average citizens being well represented. It's a lot of special interests and big money, as is usual on all levels of politics. And so, you know, I'm just out to help make sure everybody's voice is amplified and that nobody's being silenced simply because they don't have, you know, the connections or the money to have an influence in politics.
Hmm. Very well put. Now, Carrie, you mentioned that your opponent, the incumbent, I assume a Republican. Am I right there?
Yes.
Okay. So your Republican opponent, the incumbent, comes from a law enforcement background. I and the audience, of course, know you from the Pacific Northwest, all the work you did with the medical marijuana community, Americans for Safe Access, and so forth. Has your opponent made your drug war activism an issue in this election?
My opponent hasn't made much of anything an issue in this election. You know, I'm really starting to wonder whether he wants to be reelected at all. We had a questionnaire put out by our local newspaper that he didn't even bother to fill out. He has not knocked on any doors at all. I've knocked on 3,500 doors and talked to, you know, thousands of voters thus far. And, you know, he really hasn't even been raising money. In the last 3 months, he actually only raised $720, which for a Republican candidate is kind of unheard of. So, you know, I think he's just taking it all for granted and assuming that he's going to get a win, one, because he's an incumbent, and two, because it's a Republican-leaning district. But, you know, it may be leaning that way, but I've found from the voters that I've talked to that they're ready for a change, that they're ready for some bold new leadership to step up. And so it's really going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, if he wins without having put in any effort whatsoever, you know, it must say a lot about the views of that district.
Has he been an incumbent for a long time and perhaps run unopposed in previous elections?
He's a one-term incumbent, and he won the election in the last time around with $16,000 in his campaign war chest, if you will, and $4,000 of that came from his own pocket. So it's entirely possible that in this last 29 days of the election, he will step up and put forth some of his own political capital and financial capital to win this race. But thus far, we haven't seen any sort of mail from him. We haven't seen any sort of effort knocking the doors. You know, all the traditional things that you'd see in a campaign, he has not done at all. And it's getting to, you know, the clock's ticking. It'll be interesting to see whether he even does anything at all. I think it's really just kind of representative of the whole attitude of the Republican Party in general, which is, we can do this. We've got the connections. We've got the money. It doesn't matter how much you try. We're going to take this home anyway. And, you know, I think we're really going to see a shift in the politics here in Montana.
Gosh, let's hope so. We're speaking with Carrie Boyder, a longtime reform activist who's running for Montana's District 44 House seat as a Democrat against a Republican incumbent with a law enforcement background. And of course, the other news, the other election that we're covering there in Montana is that Initiative 182 to restore Montana's medical marijuana program to its previous operational status, to legalize dispensaries and such. Is that becoming a focus of this election, and does it factor much into your campaign?
It's definitely a focus, and I think it does factor in. You know, again, from talking to voters, I've heard people mention it, and, you know, while there's been maybe one person who has said because of my medical marijuana activism, they're not voting for me, and they outwardly said that, I've had many, many people bring up the medical marijuana issue and ask whether I support it and tell me stories of people that they know or themselves who have been helped by this. And so, you know, what's interesting about Billings is that the sole opposition to our medical marijuana program really lies here in this town. The Republican Party chair, Jeff Estman, who helped pave the way for the repeal of our law, is from here in Billings. And then Steve Zabawa, who has funded the, you know, he funded the initiative to try to repeal the law altogether and lost. And so now he's the sole opposition to our medical marijuana initiative that would restore our former provisions. And he's spent another, I think, $125,000 of his own money on, you know, anti-marijuana opposition. And he's a used car salesman who most people surmise has some sort of a stake in the pharmaceutical industry, based on the answers he gives when he's opposing this. He's like our Kevin Sabat here in Montana. And so, yeah, here in Billings, this is the hotbed for this discussion. And if so, if someone like me can win a district in the Heights that's Republican-leaning, and across the street, my fellow colleague who's running for office actually owns a chain of medical marijuana clinics, if we can win those two districts in the Heights, we represent 20,000 people between us. And I think that says a lot about whether or not people really agree with Steve Zabawa or not, because that's a fifth of the population of Billings right there.
Mm, wow. Let's hope that happens. We could see a lot of change with just a couple of elections right there. And Carrie, if people listening want to help you out or get more information, I know campaigns cost money and you could use donations. What are some of the links they could check out?
So I have a website, carrieboyder.com, and there's a big contribute button right there in the center where you can contribute to my campaign financially. I can also use volunteers to help make phone calls. That can happen from anywhere in the country, even if you're not here in Billings. Simple things like sharing the word online, you know, sharing my Facebook, retweeting my tweets on Twitter. Elect Carrie Boyder is my Twitter handle, and Friends of Carrie Boyder is my Facebook page. That goes a long way towards helping as well. You can also endorse my campaign. For folks who are here in Billings, I'm having a really fun event here coming up on Sunday. It's actually a prohibition party, you know, reaching to my roots and the work I've done to end prohibition. We're going to have a roaring 20s live jazz music. It's going to be a great time. So if people are interested in that, there's a Facebook event, and all of that information is on my Facebook page as well.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, check out Elect Carrie Boyder on Twitter. And Carrie Boyder is K-A-R-I-B-O-I-T-E-R, just to make sure that you can find it. In the last couple of minutes we've got here, Carrie, I know that politics there has got to be about more than just marijuana. What are some of the other issues you want to bring focus to if you're elected to the House?
So there's really three big things for me. One is economic security. Almost everyone I know is working two, maybe three jobs, and they're all struggling to make ends meet. We don't have livable wages here. People make $7-$8 an hour. McDonald's pays $10 an hour. And we have our skilled workforce leaving those jobs to go work at McDonald's because they pay more at $10 an hour. So that has got to change. You know, things like building stronger communities, early childhood education. We're one of the few states that does not have preschool for all children provided. That's something that I'm passionate about. You know, obviously reinvesting funds from mass incarceration into community mental health outcomes, treatment for substance abuse for those individuals who actually want that and can benefit from that. We have a private prison up in Shelby, and it's got a 20-year contract that's coming up and will be discussed for the first time in the 2017 legislature. That's an issue I'm very passionate about. And then the other big one here is what makes Montana great, and much like Idaho, is some of our beautiful scenic places that we have. You know, for all the things that people could say about the politics or, you know, some of the things like that, we live in some of the most beautiful country in America, honestly. And a lot of that is because of the federal lands that exist, public lands, our wilderness areas, things like that. And so there's actually a push by the National Republican Party to transfer federal lands to state control. And, you know, people think, well, that sounds like a good idea, less federal government. And generally, I would agree. But what will happen is that the states don't have the budget that the federal government does. And we won't be able to afford to take care of those lands. So they're either going to fall into disrepair or we're going to have to sell them. And when we sell them, there are all sorts of very fancy, very rich folks who are going to snap them up like that. And people like me who grew up here hiking and camping and fishing in this wilderness area won't be able to access it anymore. And, you know, that's a real assault to the Montana values and our way of life. And that's something I'm definitely going to stand up and fight and work to keep from happening.
Well, best of luck to you in the election. We'll be covering it live Tuesday, November 8th, and we'll get the take from your campaign headquarters as well. Carrie Boyder's running for Montana House District 44. Check her out, Carrie Boyder online. Elect Carrie Boyder on Twitter. Carrie, thanks, and good luck to you.
Thanks so much, Russ.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We got another interview coming up here. We're going to speak with Dimitri Downing from the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Fuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Fuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Fuber way.
It's time to Hemp Presents
with Anadina Stanger.
I say to you with all the fervor of my soul that God intended men to be free. Rebellion against tyranny is a righteous cause. And I believe that with every ounce of my soul, we are fighting a righteous cause because people need nature.
Marijuana!
Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
Sweet sativa!
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany, and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Cannabusiness Chronicles. Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Cannabusiness Chronicles, we go down to Phoenix, Arizona, where this weekend we've got the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo taking place, the second iteration of this event in Phoenix. And joining us to talk about it is Dimitri Downing. Dimitri, welcome to the show. Hello, Dimitri, do we have you? Okay, we're somehow missing Dimitri on the line. Don't know if he can hear me or not. Let's try this again. Dimitri, are you there? Okay, I'm afraid we're unable to get Dimitri on the line. It looked like he was there, but doesn't appear that he can hear me or that it's working. But the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo will be taking place at the Phoenix Convention Center this Friday and Saturday. SWCCExpo.com is where you can go if you'd like to learn more about that. In the meantime, we will continue our preview of Marijuana Election Night by replaying an interview with Ellen Kopp from California Normal, telling us about the local initiatives that will be on the ballot this November.
You're listening to Cannabis Radio News' exclusive coverage of Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, and for our Marijuana Election Night coverage, we've got a special guest joining us from California Normal. It's Ellen Kopp on the line. Ellen, how are you doing?
Great, Russ. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So glad to have you here. And, of course, everybody is looking at California as the big prize. Prop 64 is on the ballot to legalize. It's getting a lot of national attention, but kind of falling under the radar on the national scene is just how much there is being voted on marijuana in California at the local level. And I was hoping maybe you could run that down for us and maybe give us some highlights.
Sure. Well, according to the Orange County Register, there are 62 local ballot measures in 25 counties. I'm up to verifying 52 of them in 23 counties, I think. They're all over the place and they're all over the map. Some are taxing retail, some are taxing cultivation, some both, some are taxing medical, some recreational, some both, some of them at different rates. Unlike Colorado's Measure 64, there's no cap in AMA, Prop 64 in California, on what locals can tax. In Colorado, it's 3%. And the reform CA measure that Cal Normal participated in writing in capped it at 5%. But it's going to be a free-for-all, I guess, if AMA passes in November. And we've seen in the past that whenever a taxation measure is on a local ballot, it's pretty much got 100% chance of carrying it. Even in places that didn't vote for Prop 19 in 2010, they didn't want to legalize it, but they wanted to tax it mm-hmm. if it was legal. So we're actually concerned in a few places, at least, where it seems like taxation could, kill the golden ganja goose, right? Like Santa Barbara, for example, is recommending a 20% tax. Now, this is going to be on top of the 15% tax that's in AMA mm-hmm. at the state level, plus a $9.25 tax per ounce, on top of the state sales tax, which is 7% or more, depending on the jurisdiction. Now, sure. Medical marijuana patients would be exempt from the state or the sales tax if they just have a card, an ID card, which is voluntary at this point. We're going to hope to push for more tax relief for medical marijuana patients, at least. And eventually, we think it'll shake out that places that are putting too high taxes. I mean, one place wants to put a $50 per square foot tax, and they said they wanted it to be prohibitive.
Yeah.
Humboldt County and Lake County are looking for a $1 to $3 per square foot tax, depending if it's indoor, outdoor, or mixed light. And that's, obviously a lot more reasonable and welcoming to cannabis businesses. So it's really crazy. Some places have two or three measures on the ballot, a couple by voter initiative, like, say, in Long Beach. And then the city councils can put a tax measure on the ballot, too. They can't tax without a vote. So if they want to tax, they're going to have to take it to the voters. And so voters in a lot of these places are going to have to decide, whether they want legalization, to be in effect in their city. And if so, if they want to tax it, then at what rate?
You know, it's interesting, Oregon here, where I'm calling you from, we also have that limit of 3% that you can apply as a local tax. And in Oregon, and now, you know, I'm covering Massachusetts as well, and their initiative has a very low tax rate. And a lot of these people are saying, a lot of these analysts are saying, we got to keep the tax rate somewhat low, or else you defeat the purpose of legalization. The unregulated market sales can continue and undercut those taxes. Are these locals, you know, they're doing these taxations, it sounds like, as a way to basically kind of dissuade cannabis businesses from establishing themselves there and cannabis sales to happen. But do they note these unintended consequences?
It's only been in a couple of cases where they're actually punitive. A lot of people seem to think there's sort of an unlimited amount of, you know, profit in marijuana. And of course, it's not really the case. Some have estimated the sweet spot for taxation might be around 25%. And already OMA pretty much has been a tax at that level. So if you start adding, you know, 20% or something, you're getting upwards to, you know, 45% taxation. I mean, that obviously is going to fuel a black market, we think.
Yeah.
And it will defeat the purpose of legalization. And you'll just getting the same people arrested for participating in the black market, which we want to end, and et cetera. As well as, you know, the other public safety, environmental issues and everything, you know, because, now we're going to also have a whole regulation layer coming on top, which I'm sure, you know, the other states have seen as well. I'm on my way into a California Department of Agriculture meeting about medical marijuana cultivation. The State Water Board is also holding hearings around the state, as is the Department of Public Health, who's got purview over the you know, dispensaries and packaging and testing labs and things like that. So all of these are going to have licensing fees, you know, on top of the taxes as well.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot to have to deal with. You know, and this is, I find, of all, you know, no initiative out there for legalization of marijuana has ever passed my muster, but my muster is legal for everyone 18 and older, and you get a free pound on your birthday. So there's always a problem with some initiative. To me, the problem with Prop 64 is that taxation part. I'm kind of disappointed in establishing a tax that has to be paid by medical cannabis patients. And one of the things we learned here in Oregon when we passed our Measure 91 is we had attached to it a harvest tax, a per ounce tax that we later analyzed and realized, well, wait a minute, as the price of weed falls, that tax becomes bigger and bigger in relation to what you're harvesting. How are these lessons not picked up in Prop 64? And assuming it passes, how can we go about fixing these problems?
Well, I think, you know, regulation is going to be costly, and so there was, you know, there were taxes put in there to help with it. The good news is that Prop 64 allows for certain sections of it, including the taxation section, to be amended by a simple majority in the legislature, which, you know, we have a fairly liberal legislature. And so they can be adjusted. And I think that they will be. I think it'll be hard, though, for the legislature to adjust local taxes, because there's a lot of pressure in Sacramento for local control and local, you know, to let the locals do whatever they want. And so after the fact, I think it's going to be pretty hard to put that genie back in the bottle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think the market forces will help, because people simply won't set up cannabis businesses in places where the taxation is too prohibitive. And, you know, that's too bad for the patients who live there, of course, and the other people who live there. So, you know, if we open up the recreational market, that could be a boon. You know, I still hear from a lot of people who want to come to California and try medical marijuana, and they can't unless they have a doctor's recommendation. We don't have any reciprocity, even with any other state's medical programs here in California, because we were the first to pass it, and we didn't really think that far ahead, I guess. Because that was 1996, so 20 years ago. Yeah, there weren't all these other states with medical programs as well. So there's going to be a lot of shaking out. We're going to have to work really hard to keep up the small players.
All right, that's a replay of our interview with Ellen Comp from California Normal, discussing some of the local ballot initiatives and these cities and counties that are already preemptively overtaxing recreational marijuana in anticipation of Prop 64. there's going to be a whole lot to work out after Prop 64 gets passed. And we're going to talk about Prop 64 come up here in this second hour, because I've been going round and round with people since last week on some of the myths being used to scare people into voting to maintain their own marijuana criminality. That's coming up in the next hour, Toker Talk Radio, and the phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.